Yeah, I had to attend, shouldn't you?
Okay. So, thanks to the department, we're not expecting a long meeting. However, we think that the last thing of a cycle, it's important that we put the CWP program in perspective, so that those who come after us find it at least improved. They improved from what it currently is. We know that this is an old program, PG, which in our interpretation is part of the public works program. However, our gripe, simple gripe with this, I'm not sure if you want to come and sit with me this way. Our gripe with this is that a lot of money is spent on implementing agents. And we would like to see a situation where, because this is intended to benefit your ordinary people, and therefore a lot of resources are plowed towards that. Then if, and that's a really main issue that we have. But in terms of the presentation, I think you can be detailed in your presentation, pretend as if we have never heard of it, because we might be knowing broadly of what the CWP is all about. I was expecting another face from education, it's not here. Just in passing, we had a meeting yesterday. And I know you and I spoke about the MWT. Maybe from our side, there could have been an oversight in terms of extending invitation to yourselves. Because in the presentation, it was clear that there was a gap when, should I say, Peacock. Peacock was not represented. I think that input was obviously missed. We hope that maybe we will have time just for your comments. Because related to that, the issue really is that that grant is a new grant. Going to municipalities, we had already that there are still problems. And as a committee, we think that we are very strong on Section 54 of the Constitution. I think it's 154. One. Yeah, it says 154.1. It says the national government and provincial government. The national government and provincial government, by its effective and other measures, must support and strengthen the capacity of municipalities to manage their own affairs, to exercise their powers, and to perform their functions. So, many a times we hear that well, municipalities don't perform, we will hold fast. You know, and the people who suffer if funds themselves are the beneficiaries, supposed to be of this. But that was just a byway teaching. If we could focus on the CWP, maybe at this stage, if I may invite two teachers and the team to address of them.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
And good morning to all of the members of the committee. I'm appearing for the second time before this committee, but it is possible that I may not have met some of the committee members. My name is Musi Matanzela. No longer so new.
Sorry, can I have a private pitch? Our program is just, can I do a slide what we call a change, DJ? I didn't see my dress that is here. Because I would just like children from their perspective to first give us an overview. And then you come back. I apologize for this.
I joined the Department of Corporate Governance on October 1st, 2012, on just over a year. Otherwise, before that, I was Director General of the Department of Social Development for nearly 10 years. So I'm not particularly new to the system, but certainly new to the sector. Thanks.
In fact, do you know that time there were a lot of challenges in terms of stability within the department? So they had to draw from his experience. I think it is welcome. You have already welcome to the previous meeting. This one, Sophia.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. As the Chair indicated, it will be a short presentation. And just to highlight the view of this program from where we sit at the National Treasury. I'll give an overview of what the budget looks like and the current approach and funding model, the performance that we have seen reported on this, make a bit of comments on the link to the Extended Public Works Program, and very broadly identify certain challenges and opportunities that I'm sure the DGI has in more detail. The program was initiated, I think, in 2019 already. The outcomes, audited outcomes as we have been for this current year, shows that there's been a significant growth. You can see a 39% growth from into 11-12, 100% growth into 12-13, and another 34% growth into the current financial year. The bulk of the spending in this program goes towards wages of those participating in the Community Works Program. If you split it up, what is wages versus what is being spent on operational costs, it's a 65-35 split at this stage. As the Chair indicated, these are the numbers that we'd like to see, at least not worsen, but obviously improve over time. The allocation within the budget has shifted. You'll notice initially it was a payment for consultants and a transfer payment that was changed in the 12-13 financial year, where all the money is recorded under goods and services, some going to contractors and some going to consultants. So that is how it is in the current budget is being reflected. The model itself reflects that currently there are a three-tier system of management in three provinces. That management system is responsible for the day-to-day planning and work of the program. The key focus in this year is for the department has been to create the information management system that will help them allocate the wages and work the program at the, or manage the program at the national level. But there's also work that's gone in to change this implementation model so that we get rid of the three-tier system and that there is a single layer of implementing agents that will hopefully reduce the cost of management. And as I said, the department is working on the information management system in support of that change. I had a quick look at the CG's numbers, and it's always embarrassing if we don't have the same numbers, but we don't have the same numbers for 19. This time the territory is more lenient and we found 20,000 more participants. We will feedback to the committee of why there is a difference. The other years we are projecting similar outcomes. You can see there's a steady growth of participants, and the increase in the budget is also reflected, as you can see, where the growth in the 12-13 is quite substantial, that we've now reached more than 200,000 participants. Our estimate is based on the target for this year, but that target has already been exceeded, and I know that you will indicate where they already are. This performance is, as I've shown in the previous slide, if you look at the average annual growth of allocations towards the program, we're now at 28.9% average annual growth, which is a very fast growth. We in the past have had some concerns where the growth in funding is not being matched with the expenditure, so there's been a cut in money in the last financial year, but we hope that the performances is now able to spend all the money. A large extension of the performance is to go to more sites so that more areas are being met with the program, and you'll see the target is to take it from 114 municipalities to
234.
Yes, I think the department counted as where there's already two wards in all of those municipalities. So those are the sites in terms of where this project, where those 200,000 plus people are working, and the idea now is to spread it to more areas, which of course makes the management component important, and that we get that right, and it doesn't just add more costs. We just wanted to make some remarks around the EPWP linkages. This is seen as the EPWP program. It's reported under EPWP under what they call the non-state sector. The difference between this program and other EPWP programs is that it is not a sector-based program, so it doesn't fall under water or transport or early childhood development. It's an area-based approach, so we try and reach different areas as opposed to reaching specific targets in a sector. However, it doesn't mean that we can't get better synergies between some of these projects, and there are two specific areas. One is to make use of the expertise in the EPWP management program. Some of the committee members will know that budget is a very large management component for EPWP, and maybe some of that expertise can be used in the CWP program. But also on the ground, in terms of ensuring that some of the EPWP programs can be maintained over time. So where we've got working for water, that kind of project, but when the invasive plants are removed, and somebody ensures that the little sprout don't come up and start all over again. Those kind of, so they all both on the management and on the delivery level, the two programs can help each other. And this potential has now been recognized in the third phase of EPWP. Which is not, I asked him if this means something different. It just means it's the third round that we are putting money forward for EPWP. The challenges that we see from our side is that there could be better cooperation between the Department of Cooperative Governance and the Department of Public Works. It means not only do we get the numbers different, but between EPWP people and CWP people, we don't get the same numbers, so there might be some better coordination needed. Obviously, within the restrained fiscus, that massive growth that we've seen up to now might not be sustainable, because we are worried about constraints on the fiscal side. But everybody still wants the performance of this program to continue and the expansion of the program. So the way forward is very much to understand how we can make things more efficient and ensure that we still get more participants in it. And then lastly, some of the opportunities is to use some of the local NGOs to support government in doing this work for alongside those communities. Thank you very much, Jane.
Thank you, Ms. But I'm sure I would like to go to the next presentation. And there's something else that I would like to explanation. Otherwise, we'll engage later after the COP presentation. Okay? Let's go to the next presentation. I still be seeing that there used to be different leadership for this program. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm here together with active players in the community work program. On my right is Mr. Tosi Saba, who is the National Program Manager, effective December 2012. I can't say what happened before because I wasn't there. And on my left is Ms. Dr. Mugadi. She's the executive manager on the program, and to her left is Ms. Gosnell, who's the head of my office. And Mr. Dugadi behind me is a parliamentary liaison officer. I take no accountability for that, Chairperson. Chairperson, we have prepared a presentation in line with the terms that were set out in the invitation we received, dated 27 January this year, which required us to prepare a presentation which covers challenges and opportunities in the funding model of the Community Works Program and improving the utilization of implementing agents in a cost-effective manner. In addition to that, we asked to give an overall performance report on the program, as well as indicate linkages with other employment programs such as EPWP. Chairperson, we have done that. We circulated our presentation. We hope it reached you on time, but it is circulated on time. Jefferson, but this has to be some trade, an important matter to deal with. Yes, because I understand that this presentation was circulated well on time. Okay. Chairperson, we have prepared the presentation, as I said, in accordance with the terms reference. The National Program Manager, Mr. Farr, will walk us through the presentation, at the end of which we will then happily take questions that the honourable members might have. Thank you very much.
I did introduce you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to Chairperson and honorable members, government officials, members of the media who are here. I'm going to take you through the program, the presentation quite in detail. The number of the items is the slides that are on the presentation. It just goes with the introduction to the program overall performance, program rollout, current institutional arrangements, new institutional model, CWB funding model, CWB funding model breakdown, consolidated expenditure performance, future projections, linkages between the CWB and CWP, monitoring, evaluation, and reporting key challenges and trend chapters to challenges. I hope even the challenges that mentioned that is already checked will touch on them during the presentation. I will try and talk as quickly as possible because all of us have got it in the writing, but I want to take for granted people do know about the program. This is a community-driven, government-funded program. Very important that it's funded by the government. Partnership program whose objective is to soften the negative impact of unemployment in areas of greater socio-economic needs across all 9 provinces. That is, it is in all the 9 provinces. It is an initiative designed to provide an employment safety net by providing participants with a predictable number of days of work per month and thus supplement their existing livelihood strategies and affording them a basic level of income security through work. Participants will refer to the people who are working on the program. The CWP is an output-driven outcome 9, which is a responsive, accountable, effective, and efficient local government system. It also contributes to the following agreements and outcomes. Outcome 4, on decent employment through inclusive growth. Outcome 7, vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities and security for all. Jobs, driver 4 of the new growth path, investing in social capital and public services. The CWP started as a pilot project which was led by the President and the Department of Social Development in the year 2007. It was initiated as part of Second Consolidated Projects, an initiative of the President commissioned to the Trade and Industry Policy Services called TIPS, a policy research NGO. The implementation of the pilot program began in 2007 under the auspices of a partnership between the Presidency and the DSD, who constituted a steering committee and provided oversight to the program. The pilot phase was supported through donor funding from Employment Creation Fund, the Development of International Development, Southern Africa, the FIG, South Africa. The overall performance of the program. In the June 2009 State of the Nation address, Honorable President Jacob Zuma committed government to fast-track the program. The CWP target for 2009-2010 was significantly increased from a target of 10,000 participants to a revised target of 50,000 participants. The CWP exceeded this revised target, reaching 55,582 participants by end of March 2010. For the period of 1st April 2010 to 1st March 2011, the CWP created 89,689 work opportunities in 49 municipalities against a target of 87,000 work opportunities across 9 provinces. 65% of the participants during this period were women and 59% were young people. For the period of 1st April 2011 to March 2012, the CWP created 105,280 work opportunities. In other words, that's the number of participants, against the target of 69,120 across all 9 provinces in 63 municipalities. 69% of the participants during this period were women, 54% were young people. For the period of 1st April 2012 to 31st March 2013, the CWP created 204,494 work opportunities against a target of 171,500 work opportunities across the 9 provinces in 140 municipalities. 58% of the participants during this period were women and 54% were young people. The overall performance continued. In the current financial year, that is 1st April 2013 to 21st March 2014, to date, the CWP has created 206,166 cumulative. In other words, people then touch the program, will be part of the program. Work opportunities against a target of 172,000 work opportunities across 9 provinces. In 1.4 municipalities, 54% of participants during this period have been women and 52% black people. the adult participation rate in adults, people who are 8, 31st December 2013, said that 179,700 participants. The breakdown of the number of sites, performance, and performance against target are detailed below. I will run through that province by province. Okay. Similar to people who have passed the program, who did well for the program, but not to say they are there now, but they were paid by the program. Because the program allows people to come in and then they leave when they want to, then they can come back again. That's why we take that number as cumulative. First April to 31st March 2014. That is the number. Now, as long as you think that they were in the program, but now the other people that retained the first of December, 179,700. Okay. I will touch the target number of sites per province. You see that 13 in Southern, 13 Eastern Cape, 8 Western Cape, 11 Northern Cape, 13 Northwest, 13 Stage, 29 KZN, 17 in Boko, 14 in Bualanga. The current city of Rupi sites, they are 148. I think there's a little bit of confusion. 114 municipalities, 148 sites. In other words, the advisor has got more than one. And the municipalities have got more than one site. Going to the number of participants, 172,000, 18,000 in Gauteng, 35 in Eastern Cape, 9,500 in Western Cape, 11,000 in Northern Cape, 15,000 in Northwest, 17,000 in Free State, 3,500 in KZN, 19,000 in Limpopo, 17,000 in Bokalang. I'll go to the municipalities right at the end of the time. 140 municipalities are 10 in Southern, 27 in Eastern Cape, 7 in Western Cape, 11 in Northern Cape, 13 in Northwest, 13 in Free State, 29 in KZN, 17 in Limpopo, and 19 in Mpumalanga. 13, sorry, in Mpumalanga. Now the program rollout. The program is not implemented in 140 municipalities currently now spent. However, the geographical targeting may be sacrificed to municipal demand. In the Eastern Cape, 27, 8 Western Cape. Eastern Cape has got 45 municipalities. In the Eastern Cape, we're operating in 27 of those 45 municipalities. In other words, there are five there. As I said, one site is, as I said earlier, in more than two wards is what is cited. But you'll find that certain municipalities will cover more than two wards. A site consists of the people coming from that particular ward, then they form a site. A site, the minimum number for the site is 1,000. Now, certain municipalities like the Metros and big municipalities, we will find that we have exceeded the number of 1,000. Due sometimes to the demand, sometimes to the active councillor in that particular municipality, you know, the demand and all that, the request that it will fund. So you can have more than 1,000. But in the same case, we're operating in 27 municipalities. Western Cape is 8 municipalities, Northern Cape is 11 municipalities, KZN number 61 municipalities operating in 29, Free State 15, Gauteng in 10, Mpumalanga out of 18 municipalities are visible in 13, Northwest 13, Limpopo 17, that is in the municipalities in those areas. That's why I'm saying we're operating in 140 municipalities. institutional arrangements that the separation alluded to air on and retain of the changes that that you are embarked on to change the situation. The program is implemented through three lead agents, with each responsible for three problems. In other words, there are three NGOs who are operating the three provinces. For example, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Northern Cape, there's one lead agent that is in charge of those three. Same as Gauteng, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga, and the Free State, KZN, and Northwest. So at provincial level, the lead agent appoint provincial implementing agents to assist with program implementation and follow-up. And provincial implementing agents in turn appoint what you call local implementing agents to project manage implementation on site level. I didn't want to pass this. My colleague from National Treasure has alluded to this. We're doing away now with the local implementing agents, with provincial implementing agents, with lead agents. We're just going to have one layer, trying to reduce, you know, breaking this thing into all the three layers. We're going to have one layer, and we call that an implementing agent. That will be operating in various ports. This three-tier model is proven not to be cost-effective, since it results in more resources being utilized to cater for program management fees for a number of implementing agents at this sphere. In order to improve development effectiveness of the program, the institutional model has been revised to cater for only one layer or level of implementing agents at the provincial level. This will have a positive effect of listing some funds initially utilized to cover program management to be allocated to provide more work opportunity instead of paying program management fees to three layers which are paid into one layer. The current institutional arrangement, as it is depicted on that slide, three lead agents, provincial implementing agents, and local implementing agents. That's shown on that slide. The institutional arrangement continued. That's for the new phase of program coverage period 2014 to 2017. Implementing agents will be appointed at the provincial level. The number of implementing agents per province will be determined by number of operational sites and geographical spread of the province. Advertisements in this regard have already been issued, and it will be said that the evaluation and adjudication of these will be finalized by end of February 2014 in order to finalize the appointment process during the month of March 2014. Implementing agents are expected to be on the ground at the start of the new financial year on the 1st of April 2014. The Interministerial Committee on Anti-Poverty and Short-Term Job Creation, that is set by the Deputy President, commissioned the Technical Assistance Unit at National Treasury to conduct an institutional review of the CWP. The outcome of the review recommended that the program be established as a specialized unit within DIVOC. This was endorsed by the IMC, which also advised that each function under the direct guidance and leadership of the Director General next to me. CWP therefore reports to Mr. Busimaro first. DIVOC is currently in the process of finalizing an organizational structure for CWP, designed to make it more effective. Meanwhile, program implementation is supported by provincial and municipal officials who assist in monitoring and unblocking challenges. This they do in addition to their core responsibilities, since currently their posts are not funded by the program, but funded by the provinces and municipalities. In this stage, that as the new structure, options will be explored to provide for CWP-specific program staff at provincial and municipal levels. Municipalities are champions of the program at local level, while provincial departments responsible for local government play this critical role at provincial level, including coordinating provincial sector departments, contributing to strengthen program implementation, as well as its outputs and outcomes. The institutional model of the program has been revised from the current three level of implementing agents like that into one layer. Directly from the next financial year, CWP will be implemented by agents appointed at provincial level to focus implementation. I'm repeating that slide. Let me go to slide number 7, please. So sorry for that. Still have to find a model. The funding model is designed as the side budget with a strict ratio of 6.35. This implies that 55% of the site budget is allocated to participant wages. So we're paying participants. 35% of the budget is allocated non-wage costs for the procurement of protective gear, tools and materials, training and technical support, as well as project management. The funding model has not been fully effective due to the strict nature of the 6.35 ratio, as it does not allow flexibility of a 22. As is the breakdown in detail, mass training and technical support is 8% of the communication costs, project management, implementing agents, 10% of the other side costs, project management, 5% of the total budget, safety gear, 700% per year, participation rate, number of participants at full capacity, 1,000 minimum, training and technical support in section phase of new sites, 700 per person. Tools and materials ongoing, 100 per person per month after month 3. Cost of process transfer, 1.5% of the compensation. Levies on employment, workers' compensation, YF and fields, 2.5% of compensation. I'll go to the performance against budget. The wages, that is income including wage advance, wages is 1.2 billion. Actual expenditure in 9 months expenditure is December 2013, 985 million. Variance 3 months, January 2014 to April 2014, 336 million. Percentage in 9 months to January 2014 is 9%. That is the wages, and then the non-wage is 61%. So the total income, the percentage spent in 9 months, January to January 2014, 72%. That is the wage cost, 74%. Unskilled participants, 71%. Semi-skilled participants, 100% were done away with that care. Group of participants. Skilled participants, 56%. Non-wage cost, 39%. That figure is a big group, but we will explain why and to plan in this to change that scenario. Then charges, -58%. Performance compensation, 9%. UIF, 20%. Project management fees, 53%. Training and technical support, 47%. Project clothing, 13%. Tools and materials, 21%. Total expenditure, 68%. The future projections of the program. On top of that slide, that is the budgeted amount for the MDF allocation 2014-15 to 2015-17. 2.2 billion. Current year, 2.5 billion, 15-16, 3.7, year 2017. The total of that is the same as that, and required over the 3-year period, 8 billion. You come to the participating rate, work opportunities, target of 2014-2015, 2016-2017. This year, we are going to upscale from 122,000 to 187,000. According to the budget, we can increase our participation rate at 15,000. In 2015-2016, we got 197,000. 2016-2017, we got 32,000. However, when you come to the size of the municipality, there is a single one in this country that you can say there's no area of the poor people. 2014-2015, we want to go up to 55 municipalities or sites. 2015-2016, 165. 2016-2017, will cover all the municipalities. There are 278 municipalities in our country. and 234 are the local municipalities. The rest are the districts and the 8 metros. So that's why they take 234. So by the year 2017, we want to have 5 all the municipalities in the country. This slide,
but I want to be clear, 2014-15, you'll be going to 155 municipalities.
155 municipalities, and then currently we're at 140. So we'll increase that to 15,000 because we've got...
That's why I said clarity there.
Okay.
Because when you started talking about metros and the other aspect, let me be clear. So it's just 155 from the next client for the medium term, it will be between 155 to 234 to the four. Currently, we are facing those other as 140. Currently, we are.
Do I understand the question to be sent of the 140 that they currently that are 130? Is there a metro or a
Help me then, Chair, that they all go to the Western Cape because I see the stuck in the end on the narrow.
The metros also. Metros are in the 140. Yeah. Okay. Now, there's a strong partnership that exists between CWP and EPWP. EPWP is the father, CWP is the son. CWP operates as a component of EPWP non-state sector. EPWP participates in CWP's telecommunity meetings, but they participate. There's a joint training between EPWP and CWP as government prepares for EPWP phase 3. In this instance, collaborative arrangements have been enhanced with the introduction of 2 work streams between EPWP and CWP. But that issues of program convergence and implementation institutional linkages and also reporting on figures. 2 works also held recently, the first between CWP and EPWP national officials, and the second with EPWP provincial officials. The workshop objectives were to promote convergence and discuss issues of merging management oversight, structures of both. I don't know how that happened. The budget is mine. Okay, I'll try and go through it very slowly. A strong partnership exists between CWP and EPWP and operates as a component of EPWP non-state sector that are spent. EPWP participates in CWP steering committee meetings. There's been joint planning between EPWP and CWP as government prepares for EPWP phase 3. In this instance, collaborative arrangements have been enhanced with the introduction of 2 work streams between EPWP and CWP to address issues of program convergence and implementation institutional linkage, because people always confuse EPWP and CWP. 2 workshops were held recently, the first EPWP and EPWP national officers, and the second with EPWP provincial officers, to iron out all these areas. The workshops objectives were to promote convergence and discuss issues of management oversight structures of both programs. An understanding was reached that EPWP should participate in CWP local reference committees, and the CWP should also participate in EPWP district committees.
I can explain it now.
With your permission.
Okay.
The EPWP, let me start with CWP. CWP stands for, it's a community work program. All work is being done is determined by the communities in the particular area, in that particular municipality. and the seed and the physical rupee is not temporal but permanent. If the physical rupee in a particular area is there to stay. So people are not going in there for training and for a certain period of time. They can still stay with the program. If you can just go back to my second paragraph, where I'm mentioning local reference committees. The local reference committee is a committee from the local people in that particular municipality, consisting of certain departments from the province, and consisting of people like a retired member of parliament, who's a good example of a person.
So next
time, we'll qualify. Yeah. Good inspectors, to see the people in the community. They are sending to that, whether with what council, because they determine what needs to be done. In the question, in case of EVWP, it is on a temporary basis, and they work is determined by the government. And people are just saying for a certain period of time, then it comes to an end, then something else will come to the fore. However, CWP, as I said, is one of the options of EVWP. This is designed to cause a change of promotion in order to promote coordination activities and cost effective. It is very interesting in the last paragraph of that slide that EVWP and CWP committees will be meant to enhance joint efforts and coordination with other sector departments since these programs cut across sectors. The point is that we cannot afford to all move into one place. We must divide it as much as possible so that there's no competent work. Where CWP is operating, then we take EVWP to another area so as for people to benefit. Slide 12. The communal program is a project of the expanded public works program as a friend. This implies that it has a direct relationship with the program and therefore has reporting obligations that feed into the reporting system of EVWP. It will just colleague from Senator that alluded to that. Or welcome, and that's why we can report what one and things. The CWP monitoring, evaluation and reporting process should therefore address the reporting requirements that the EVWP performance indicators are also aligned with the reporting requirements of the various other stakeholders with interest in the program. The stakeholders range from cabinet, Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, CWP Steering Committee, which consists of officers from other departments, DFID South Africa, and other national centers. Those are stakeholders. The challenges. I'm moving on to the end now. There are three levels of agents. Delays and direct accountability is difficult because we've got local implementing agents, provincial implementing agents, and the lead agents. So they must, that is long the program. In aggregate data management and verification process, late and non-payment of participants. This has been cry about CWP that there's non-payment of participants. It's not that just happening because people want to do it. People change their bank accounts, people are not well registered, people are just forced into the program without following the correct procedure. Proper contract management, including sanctions and incentives, are staff contracting. There's a reason why we are moving only to one layer of implementing agents, exactly because of those weaknesses. Because you can't control these three layers, but if it's one layer, then you can control it. Because people just get there, rather than and start to do the training and all that, then they just run out of that. Differences between CW and EW numbers further to IMC, we're working on that. Delineation of those, particularly those of provinces, human resource, financial resource, and funded mandate, because we are working together with provinces, but we need to make sure that what is this that they're going to do, and then also the funding. Implementation manual used as auditing tool, because the implementation manual for CWP was reviewing it. Adequate structure, capability, and capacity to manage program as with the theory of change. Financial management capacity and capability, including IT. How do you plan to address this challenge? Through discussing with numbers of members of the National Steering Committee and others, have agreed on a similar level of agent. The program is keen on contracting 23 implementing agents for geographical, provincial, and district considerations.
However, the terms of reference is written to commence with one against the province due to the uncertainty of number and quality of proposals per province. No subcontracting for implementation. The terms of reference and contracts will not permit any subcontracting for the implementation. Training some level of research and other specialist skills would be permitted. But if a person is bidding to be an implementing agent, he must declare subcontracting right on the spot. But if they want to subcontract later for a certain function, they must get the permission from the management of the program. Because the program has been started by saying, this is who we are, later on they add some other people. So we're trying to avoid that. Payment of participants will be managed by DCOC. From October, a centralized MIS has been utilized to pay all participants. And this will be migrated to DCOC by February this year. A GIS funded consultant has been supporting this process. We're trying to avoid leaving the payment to other people who want to do it now ourselves as the department. So that's why we make sure that people are just entered onto the program and they're paid on time. Thank you.
So, did you want to make any addition?
No, just an I think the addition will be made in the course of responding to any specific questions that members may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bishop. Honorable staff, honorable staff.
Cheers. I just want to ask whether the jobs created by CWP are permanent or not. If they're not, then I don't know the purpose of, you know, just looking at CWP and EPWP. I'm so pleased they had a meeting and they saw there are some differences, but this seems to be a total duplication of the same thing. You know, on the one hand, we have a lot of overheads doing CWP, and on the other hand, we have overheads being the EPWP, and it should be one organization, but now I see CCOP is getting involved, they're going to pay the people, we've appointed consultants for that. And if you look at the budget as presented by Treasury, it's on page 4, you will see that contractors are going up from 2012 to 2013 from 709 million to near 1.2 billion in 2013-14. You know, this is terrible. We are paying contractors, but on the other hand, we're saying, no, we're reducing the contractors. We're going to pay them less. It's going to cost them less. But the costing, in fact, is costing a lot of money more. The annual growth is 34%. Chair, I am so pleased that we have a situation where they admit that one of the weaknesses of the program is that they cannot monitor monitor and evaluate one of the weaknesses of the program. They can't do that in all cases. And I'm so pleased I'm retiring because this is really something. I'm not coming back here for this kind of thing. But there's no need for these two entities, quite frankly.
We'll get a response, but I think that you remember I asked the department to explain this difference so that we should understand.
I understand, Chair. I hear what they say, but I don't understand because it's not necessary. You know, we did on the other side visit, Chair, and then you get to KwaZulu-Natal, and we find that there are certain beneficiaries that not being paid the minimum wages in terms of this program. So how do they control, how do they manage? And it always goes back to the municipalities, whether the money comes to the EPWP or CWP, goes to the municipalities, and the municipalities control that money. So keep doing it that way. It's not a problem. But to have two programs, and now one is being shifted to CCOC,
No, but let's not punish them for what we observe in EPWP. But they will respond for themselves. Honorable Sina, I hope you're not retiring.
Who knows, Chet?
Only you know.
Chet, I'd like to thank the department for a comprehensive report. But maybe it's a little bit of what Honorable Swartman. You see, for me, what I don't understand, most of the participants are doing kind of menial tasks, low skill tasks. Now, the municipality that they're doing this, it must have people employed to be able to supervise a municipal function that would do such tasks as in cleaning verges, collecting litter, etc. So, to create a layer of people to manage that and utilize scarce funds to pay them, I don't see why it must be done if the municipalities can do it. The department then, of course, must then ensure that those municipalities are reporting to them on how they're utilizing those people to assist. And then, just another thing, is the Treasury made mention of how much, what the budget envelope will be going forward and if it will restrain the program and things like that. But to me, if we want to, the ideal would be to turn work opportunities into work, for example, into permanent jobs. I don't know if there's been any kind of thought, if we look at issues that are raised by the community, one of the pertinent issues is litter, for example. Now, in most municipalities, you'll have an informal sector that does waste recycling. Why can't you look at making a plan with these various municipalities to be able to say, go out, find people that do the informal waste, train them, utilize that money that you use on consultants now and contractors to train people to get into some form of a formal system. So you're paying them a subsidy, the recycling then will top up their salary, and they start to become, and then you start to bring in decent money into those households. So as if using this kind of system to keep your city clean or keep your town clean, by utilizing this money to add on to that, build some kind of an industry, a system, formalize that, inform. So just trying to think a little bit more creatively how to use and sustain this money. And I'd start with the bottom, maybe just to give that some thought. So I was reading, I think it's in some Duzi municipality, there's a program that is being put in place there, and also there's a whole lot of donor funding, international donor funding that's coming to. So maybe Mr. Farah can contact them to be able to see what kind of a framework they put in place or plan that they put in place, and then how do we try to replicate a plan like that by utilizing this way to top it up and drive it. Thank you.
Just covered by the question, my worry is on slide 3, the annual growth of 1,334%, but I think we will get a clarification on that. Thank you.
Okay, Chair, thank you very much. There's a slight addition on the and the question that Honorable Problem has covered on that very page 3 on that slide that depicts the budget. You would see 12-13 and you see 13-14. You see the increase of the budget. One is 1.2, the other one is 1.7. Now if you go to slide 4, that speaks to, of course, the municipality continues to be static at 114. But if you look at the opportunity created with a lesser budget, it suggests is 205, and when you look at the estimated creation of job opportunities in 2013-14 is 172. Now I'm asking, how do you get this right? When the budget goes up, the opportunities goes down. Isn't it should be the other way around? Maybe the budget small will explain that. I just find it strange that there's an injection of budget, it goes, budget growth, and then the job opportunities go down in this way. And it's a lot, the 172. Then the second question, I just want to ask DG, what informs your the targets? The slide that we presented throughout Levine, our target was so much, we surpassed our budget by so much, our target was so much, we surpassed it by so much. I just want to find out, what informs the targets? You set deliberately low targets, so in your then achievement you show that you have surpassed the target. Is the target budgetary linked? Or I just want to find out what informs the target. And if you say you surpassed the target, and does it mean you have overspent some money from somewhere else? Or how does it work? Because if it's informed by target, a budget, then that is going to be, unless you take lesser people, then the budget will remain with some money in the kitty. So if you can explain to me for me to understand that. I find it strange that all the targets were met, but in here that we went over budget because of the target. If it's informed, of course, by piecework and the calculation of the piecework. Then there was another question I wanted to ask about the slide. There's a lower target. Yeah, I'm going to look at the slide 3. And I look at all the targets, such as the feed conduct, slide 3, all of them suggest that you've gone much over. Now, the chairperson intervened on the slide where you spoke about accumulative. And there was an explanation. I'm not confused, I don't understand, even after that explanation, what this means. Accumulative for 266 created, that's accumulative. Now, if you can explain that for me, I would be happy. The last one is where the... No. Because accumulatively, for me, it might mean something else. But in terms of the job creation, if it's a piece work, and the person work exit, right? And when the person comes back, it can be accumulative because that person is going to start again with a different, with stipend is a stipend, is going to be counted again as part of the counting. It can't be accumulative because otherwise that time is wrong if it's accumulative. But accumulatively, it can also refer to when started the program, this particular program. So, Chair, maybe you'll have me there. And on the slide 5, there was an explanation. It may be useful to share going forward. Slide 5, the table that speaks to 27.8, those municipalities. It will be good for purposes of people looking at the table. There is 45 municipalities in the Eastern Cape. You are involved in 27. You just have a static column on the left that shows that you are eating, you are working from the number that is indicated going forward. So that when you report, you report against the number, which is whatever number is 6 of municipality in that particular area. Link to that share. DG, maybe you can share items. Of the municipalities that we have here, up to number 17 in the COPO, is there stability in those ones that you are working on in relation to when you look at the television, you see all the protests and protests for this, protests for that service. In what way there is already this kind of work being done? Is there any protests there or the protests with life would fall outside of those municipalities where you have begun to work in terms of this program or the implementation of this program? It may be a question that you have not prepared for, but you can always answer it later. I just want to see correlation. I want to see the impact that we're doing with the program, which is community driven, and the impact and the non-impact where there is no such a program in relation to the kind of photos that you see on a daily basis, where there is any linkages between that, those two. Thank you, Chair.
Part of what you were saying about this thing, I think it's what the fellow was saying, that there's some inconsistencies in figures between them, and I'm sure part of the operation is saying for where does fellow get their own figure, that the different people, you know, a little bit inconsistent.
Thank you, Sir President. The question on inconsistency of figures is now covered by Honorable Ramachandran. But I would like to go to the number of slides, I have the next number, but it talks about this institutional arrangement. Because there's also the one that is quite expensive. It talks, I don't know whether it's a complaint there, the people responsible for this program at municipal and provincial municipality officials have their core functions. I don't know whether that is a concern or a feeling that you're indicating something on their job. And once I was reading about it and asking myself this question, I told myself, but this program or project, this CWP, was piloted in the Department of Social Development. And I told myself, this is where it belongs. So because there's an infrastructure in this department that can cater for everything that is being created in this department, because they're in the social development, we have the functions already focused on social economic development of the poor, and of the poor where unemployment and the vulnerable are being cared for. And this program to me is fixed in the department. So I was asking myself, yes, it was piloted in the right department. What caused it to move to this department? If maybe I can understand that one, because there we have everything here. We are going to be seeing non-funded, what non-funded in those people wanted to dictate, and they didn't do their work because they said, and not capacity in the municipalities is so poor for us to say they'll be focusing on monitoring these programs when they can hardly monitor the payment of water, when they can hardly collect the simplest receipt to reconcile. So how are they going to be able to do this when it was actually highlighted where I think it belongs? So is that how I feel if I can understand this transition from social development to DCOG? Thank you.
Thank you, Mashiba. So you and I think the same question, because you were saying that municipalities that got the ETWP, you know, the one that we normally monitor, it's spending. Now, all on the matter, there's also the CWP. I think that you're making a positive suggestion whether it is useful to keep it here with local government.
I have a choice
on
from there to this one.
Okay. Correct, Fona?
Thank you, Chair. Some of the questions were questions they asked. All I want to understand is to say, I heard the presenter saying they are paying participants directly from the department. Now I'm asking myself, if they can manage to pay those participants directly, and you are saying it's also a permanent job. Yeah. Now my question is, why do they outsource other activities, other figures? For example, they'll be having a lead agent or whatever they call it to come and do their job. But the salary they already cut those people into their system. So why are they outsourcing? The second issue is they say they're giving training. what kind of training are you giving? Because, you know, when I see those people, I just see them, you know, outside their giving garden or whatever. So, it's training. When I'm talking about at least tangible things, and when they say they are changing that model because the old model was very weak in terms of monitoring and evaluation, what do they have? What is new thing in terms of monitoring? Do they have a plan that says we'll be able, this is the plan making sure that we're going to monitor? And that new system from 3 to 1, does it solve anything? Because a lot of these people are 3, somehow we're talking about provinces might decide which agencies are going to do that. So for me, it does not say anything. And the difference between CWP and EPWP is saying the other one is because it's permanent, the other one is controlled by government. That's English. That's English. For me, there's no difference. Maybe we need to come with a very clear plan. What do we want to do in terms of CWP? What is it? Because when I take it to municipality, municipality are failing already now. They've been failing for several times. Now you still want to put another burden on top of them, which is going to be worse. Yeah. So maybe we need to rethink, if you say you've changed the model, after that you're going to come something innovative, you did not change the model. It's still the same, you're still implementing agencies. Whether they are 3 or 2 or 1, still the same. So you come with a better plan that is going to make sure that community are performing in that way. And community-based program also. For me, who are we dealing with in the community? That's the question. Who are we dealing exactly with? Because if we can know who are we really dealing with, then it's easier. And to add on what Nema Shoko said, the Department of Social Services was the correct department. But because now it's fallen under you, what is the partnership there? Do you have a partnership with them? So that they can also, because they were direct with the community, maybe also assist in making inroads into the community where the CWP is, you want to have in the community. Partner with them or have a relationship with them. So some of the things you can be able to feedback on them and be able to assist. I think that is because I know Department of Social Services recently I saw in one of my constituency. They funded the youth start program. Same things. The department funded them and the youth are running with the program. Now I'm asking myself, if you come the same program, what is partnership there? Look at it and maybe we will be able to understand. And when you talk about training, this can be tangible training. Next time when we get the report, you must be able to see what people are trained on. Is that maybe taking them forward or is it taking them backwards? And I'll make an example. There are people that came and went to the government and said, I'm training disabled people. The next minute when you look at it, they train me to cook. I can cook. We said I can. You know, so that I'm just making an example because I'm raising this because that's exactly what is happening in this kind of training. I mean, I come to my house, I know how to do that thing, and then you come and say, you train me. Can it be tangible training? That will make me to get another job if I have to go to another job. Not training for the sake of training. Thank you, Chef.
Thank you, my understanding of training is that maybe if it's cooking, which is it requires skill as well, you know. Sometimes that person can go to...
I'll never work in a hotel.
To do tailoring, you know.
But the thing is, I'll never work in a hotel. If I have to do tailoring, then I'll go to tourism. Yeah. Department of Tourism is doing that. Then I'll make it a professional. But just coming in and saying, no, we are saying, that's realistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I think there has been some questions that right earlier we try to report them down to go in detail so that we can get the a clear understanding of this.
PG, maybe if you move then to what you move to from 2014, I'm sure it's going to assist with a number of issues that are confusing people. But some of the therapy work that we could have taken as the past, I think the slide was saying from here now onwards, this is what we intend doing. I took it to the presentation to be saying that I think the honorable members who for instance the last honorable member who was asking are they just permanent or are they live? Because you seem to be saying that when you ask what is the difference between EPWP and CPWP, so you seem to be saying the jobs in CPWP have a potential to be permanent, which would be a good thing, you know, than just people passing and being and that being regarded as a work opportunity. One other question, PG, that we have asked in the past, but I think that it seems that you are addressing it, is a question of saying, how do other people get to participate? How do municipalities get to participate? I think we have raised this question over and over again in the past. Does the municipality in how then that offer to say look DG
or
members I'd like to participate, you know? Do we do a roadshow to say to people, look, we have this program that would like to roll out to address unemployment so that how much municipalities know about this program? Because I think we must admit that the level of 140 and even 145 in the next financial year, in a country like ours, where we know that the need out there is overwhelming. You know, when now public references will tell you, when they go there to do door-to-door, you know what people tell us, the first thing they tell us, we want jobs, you know. And they don't know where to hide, you know, because people say they want jobs. But we have jobs that, you know, we are in this program that we are basically rolling out. You know, there's no agency. But I don't know, DG, why this rollout can't be done tomorrow. The workshop that was done, who attended the workshop, for example? Shouldn't we have invited all the municipalities there through SAGA, maybe, or whatever, and say, this is the program that we are having. And then you can ask the question of the interest and support, because I think some of the questions, I'm not sure who was raising the question of the bad interest of this side, or not sure, I don't know, who was asking that, aren't we creating more bad interest if we have the EPWP as a CPWP? But I think that there is it looks like the department has picked this thing up to say, but how do we create an edge so that we don't really do this repeat? I mean, we ensure that we can make an impact in the community. I think this program has a potential to make an impact. I think it has a potential. The CPWP, the way it was explained, better than the EPWP. But through coordination and advance, it can help. The
Also, going back to Treasury slide 3, I think one colleague did raise this question. What did you, Honorable Sir, about the increase on the professional
contractors.
On the contractors. Well, these are the contractors. The contractors are participants, is what we are saying here in this slide. Now, but if you could just get some clarity exactly as to what are the contractors, you know, I mean, it's kind of confusing a bit, and okay. Now, before you come back, is the I think there's some maybe we need to clean up our figures as well. If you go to slide 3, overall performance, now I'm talking now about your own presentation now. It talks about the staging sites in housing. When from that, staging sites means staging municipalities, am I right? Sorry?
Whoa, I think that now you're clarifying, because
sorry,
I was just beginning.
We didn't hear that, that was a good question, but we didn't hear the clarification. What is the clarification?
Wow, okay, no, okay, you didn't hear the clarification.
Stephen, thank you very much. What I was saying is that the number of sites and the number of municipalities are not equal, which tells you that there are instances where you have more than one site in a municipality. That's why there will be a difference between the number of municipalities and the number of
municipalities.
Have I got it?
Yeah.
I'm asking that whether there are two or three, but they will still be run by
municipalities. Don't run.
Oh, okay.
This is what we will engage on, because honourable members are saying that municipalities are weak. I think the municipalities are running the program, when in fact the municipalities are not. But we will verify that in the process of this
one. The
other observation which he was the slide 8, right? Slide 8 talks about the participation rate. Again, maybe language sometimes can be our enemy, you know. We say the minimum. But if this is participation rate, at full capacity to me would mean naively, maybe it is not, but I thought the president was saying minimum. What I had and what I read. But maybe we could clarify that, because I don't know if in one side you can be able to manage 1,000 people, you know, that's a small clarity. Okay. Well, I'm sorry, teacher, there's another important question for me, you know. On page, page 5 of the narrative. But I know this slide is because presented somewhere it's slide 9, but it's not very clear. On page 5 of the narrative, things are very clear. With my spectacles, I can see clearly. I can't see slide 9 on performance, but it's the same slide where there are similar skill participants and skilled ones.
again, can you clarify, so, I don't know, what is this semi-scale participation that we're talking about in the scale?
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, if we may. I will start with maybe one or two questions. I'll pass it to my colleague and perhaps come back later. Let me deal perhaps with the broader philosophical question regarding who is implementing CWP, who is responsible for it, who is managing it. Municipalities are not running CWP. Municipalities are, if you like, sites where CWP takes place, but they don't run it. But they are represented in the local committees that the presidents are elected to. But they are not managing the program. The program at present is managed by the National Department working together with the lead agents as well as the provincial agents. And that we said that is the model we are now changing. Full program management will shift to the national departments, and municipalities will continue to provide us with a space to run the program there. They will participate in the local committees, but they're not managing it. So their capacity or the level should not impact on the program. Right. That's the first thing I thought I should have a summary. The issue about jobs in CWP and whether or not they're permanent. We've always made the point that CWP plus EPWP does not create jobs, but it creates work. I mean, these two programs create work opportunities because people are not remunerated in accordance with the Basic Conditions Employment Act. These are opportunities through which they get an opportunity to put bread on the table, but as part of that program, they also get training in the hope that at the end of that training, they will acquire a skill that could potentially Well, I'm trying to do that. I'm still at a philosophical level. you enable people to acquire skills that could potentially enable them to enter the mainstream labor market. That's what the benefit of the training should be. But otherwise, these are work opportunities. They are not jobs. That's why they are not being remunerated at the level that is described in terms of the basic conditions of employment. So, I think Honourable Member Swartz, I didn't understand him not to understand whether the jobs are permanent or not, but he doesn't seem to agree with what is stated in the presentation. I think the point has been taken to whether CWP and EWP are the same thing, whether these do not constitute a duplicate. The two programs are not the same. What has been provided in the course of the presentation was perhaps one of the features that distinguish the two, but that is not the only difference. That CWP is a program that is community-driven, meaning what work is supposed to be done is what is identified by communities. Whereas EWP, this is programs that government itself determines need to be undertaken. That is at the level of who does what and who identifies what needs to be done. But CWP, one of the distinguishing features of it is that it identifies things that must be done at community level, and the needs that need to be addressed by it are by and large of a permanent nature. So, which means that the program will run on a permanent basis. So there is a possibility that a person could participate in a program for a long time. One person can participate in this program for a long time. It also happens that somebody participates, drops out of it. Hopefully, when they drop out, it shouldn't mean always that they have literally dropped. It could also mean that they have graduated into something better. And we always hope that with the skills training that is provided, that people actually graduate from the program rather than simply drop. So, whenever UPWP, which is in the main, not exclusively, but in the main, focuses on time-bound projects, such as building a road, doing this, you know, that it will last 2 years or 6 months or whatever period of time. At the end of that period, that's indeed. So, what happens in that instance is that the worst opportunity comes to an end. Effectively, at that point, that road has been completed, then those people who have participated in the program then dropped after that, which is different from CWP. In the main, these are programs that are ongoing.
I think that's for the sake of members to understand. Do you have one or two examples of this CWT program that you're talking about that exists already elsewhere?
Okay. The National Program Manager will give what you consider pertinent examples. Why don't you do that immediately?
If I can get another member correctly, so you want us to give a practical example where one can see CWP functioning? Okay. What does it do? Okay. Let me take, I'm just going to quote one.
No, sorry. We're moving from the premise that if CWP and CWP are not necessarily the same thing. Right?
Yeah.
Now, for example, CWP is something like this.
CPWP people, then identify a road that must be repaired. And then the skills that will be sent to the people. There will be someone, they even go to the end of getting an SMME to assist people on how to repair that particular road. And that road is done within a period of time. For example, they might use, you know, these pavement bricks in an intersection. They are training people how to put, how to do that pavement there. And then they are identified certain areas, then they go there and do that. So that that road can be flattened and be well, you know, maintained. So when they live there, they know how to do the cleaning and all that, they are trained. CWP people will go to an area, for example, there's a road that goes through a particular village. Then this road is full of bushes. So people are being attacked there. You know, raped and whatever, taken there, marked and all that. Now the CWP people will say, as a community, we want to be safe. So let us go and cut the trees and the grass around that road and maintain it. So that it is flat, everyone can, you know, when you walk there, you are safe. That's a community thing that they are identifying. No one else, even the IDP of the municipality and all that, will ever think of that. But the people will go and do that. They go to the extent of using their own tools to do that. CWP people will go to a hall and say, that hall is not well looked after, you know? So one was repaired, renovated, or that wedding and funeral can happen in that hall. That is a community-based thing. I think I'm clear.
You're really
there. Yeah. I just want a practical example. Which area? What is happening in which town? Because I see them like I'm a social assistant. Practical example.
You know, we have our own technology in this community. That, you know, when you milk a cow, you milk it while it can still provide milk. But once you go to a certain stage, it's going to produce blood, you know, if you continue to suck it, you know. Just take it on understood, you know.
All right.
pity that we didn't have an oversight.
Because, you know, the problem that Honorable Mokolo is raising is that, we were saying that we are saying, in terms of the report now, we will not be in general. Not in general, not in philosophical. In terms of the report, we're saying in the Northern Cape, where it applies, for housing, there are so many sites, two sites, one site. All the questions are, what is the site doing? In that, in passing one of those sites, not just something generally people they do this, they do that. Just, you know, you pick up any of the sites, any of the sites, and say, for instance, people in the Eden Cape, or the case of Ender, the 29 sites, this is what one of the sites is doing. I think that's what the members really are trying to hear. Because the examples, when I look around, you know, I try to ignore members are saying, you know, they can't hear this difference. I try to get this distinction. So, and then it would be useful, you know, to say, because now if you say identify roads, if it doesn't be that the road, now that's why it's different. I'm finding it difficult. So. But we may do it some other day if we can't do it today.
Okay.
Is it
possible?
Thank you, sir. It's just a request. Is it possible these such 27 that if they can give us an indication this time we are doing this thing? Is it possible to give us a breakdown? Same for
civilization.
Yeah, but that's in every province, at least we do know what's going on in every province. If it's possible to. I know that the time is running out, but...
Yeah, no, what come we are asking is just a practical example. Not all of it.
Every province.
Not every province.
We can, if honorable members are interested to know in the 148 sites what is being done on each site, we can provide that information in writing.
Thank you.
We can provide that information in writing. I thought what was being asked was an example of practice. In a sense, what are the differences and potentially what may be complementarities between DWP and EPWP? That was what was being illustrated. But you would like to know now. Tell us, if you can tell us, there is this site in KZN that is doing EPCDE. That's where we are coming to now. Mr. Falcon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you can see, back to try and put it in my own words to get clarity of my mind. The EPWP program is driven by needs of various departments. The CWP is driven by community needs that are identified by those communities. Yes. But how that's popularized in the municipality is a different issue altogether, I think, you know, that maybe we need to add to. Because if communities are entitled to be able to do, what mechanism do they use to be able to get the materials, the volunteers to be able to come refurbish, they all do their bush cutting, do they use ward committees to do that? Do they use, what you know? Because I haven't heard of that in the ward that in my constituency. I've never heard of that how this, yeah, does it work through it? Community development workers, there's that linkage between community needs and the utilization of this core of people to be able to do that work. Yeah, it's fine. Thank you, Jim. Just to add to that, you know, I understand that the bush clearing is a community project that should be under CWP. And I understand that the roads is, you know, should be under EPWP. But what I'm saying is that there's, although there's these needs, the ward committees should, in their wards, should be able to tell the municipality, yeah, we want bushes and it's dangerous. We want the bushes removed. So that, I feel, is the route we should follow. And then, you know, if we get to that situation, to me, there is no reason to have two separate entities. I see that you'd be an EPWP because the municipality can run both.
And I was that's another debate you're coming with. I mean, I've understood you. I'm sure we have understood you from the beginning, but moving that premise from the premise that says, why the difference? I think that we're not there yet. All that we're wanting is that we have requested the examples. I think all of us have put it there recently. But I think Honorable Farr will come to the conclusion that says, is there a, should we be having one, what you call a project? But that's why we are worried about this difference, so that we should make our own conclusion as a committee. Should it be like this? And then we'll be able in the end to make a suggestion. But I think that we should not come with a preconceived idea that says, no, you've been nonsense, you know. We can't listen to you. Otherwise, we'll not listen to any objective thing that is being said because we already have formulated a position. Now, I think we should allow the presentation so that all of us then we can be able to say, now we understand. I like the explanation in the approach that Professor was coming up with in this identification. So this needs from both the government side and the what you call it. I'm not sure, I don't want to ask to respond to that because to me it looks like it's not exactly what it's another debate, that's why it's another debate altogether that we need to engage then as a committee. Do you think that CWP is vital to have a kind of thing to continue with, or if it is a demand? And we say we don't want to get into that debate. All that, because we don't understand CWP, so we can't come to that conclusion now. Thank you.
Thank you, Sir Person. Thank you, Honourable Members. I must say that, I need to explain this. All the questions that I ask here are not new questions. They all make sense. They are not new questions at all. But I'm making a plea to the Standing Committee. When you do your visits in any area, invite us so that we can show you what CWP has done in those areas. I'm making that plea. We'll go there and we'll prove it to you that this has been done by CWP. That's impossible.
That's on the lighter side,
Mr. Snell, I happen to know where he is coming from. If you go to Pepperville in Jagan Village, we have repaired a school there. That school has dilapidated. We have repaired a school using CWP people. On Mandela Day, we worked on that school, prepared it and painted it. Now the school is quite functional. Going to the other member on the bush cutting, you won't find, with your respect, any IDP that is saying cut those bushes.
In this
maybe given an opportunity that you'll respond, please. The CWP is an extension of what is done by the municipalities. We keep on saying municipalities are failing. Well, they have reached everywhere. See that we get to those places that communities are identifying those areas, the work to be done there. There's a lot of examples. You can go to Steve Stretcher, you will see there in that municipality, there's a vegetable garden. I'm sure that the member is living wise. He wanted personal examples. You know. We've got a vegetable garden of a very, very high standard. Then by all what you get from that garden is being used by the school kids, child-headed homes that give vegetables, and then also the old age home that is there, and the early child development center, they get the food, the vegetables from that garden. There are a lot of things that we can
come up with. You can go to Bopeni in Mpumalanga. We've repaired the school there. That's as the thing was falling. We repaired that thing and painted the whole school. There's lots of things that the Dallas program is doing to benefit the community directly.
I have a question for Barry. That is good for the sector. There's nothing wrong with that. The thing is, what is the coordination? The coordination between the different parties. Because then they also say now they are the schools. Well, the country is also busy with their problems. I don't know what is the coordination between the different parties. Because what we experienced in the last 4 years that is a lack of coordination between the different departments by implementing national programs. So I just want to find if the coordination is, if there's good coordination. And as I say, there's no problem with that. It's just about the coordination, the way, for instance, if I have a problem with my school, that budget will look hard. Who must I contact? Your department? Or the work for my municipality? But I work through the Department of Agriculture here, Education. I just want to clarify, because if you are that patient, Jim, I think there's also a lot of confusion in the communities about that. I'm going back to my constituency this weekend, and I will tell them, listen, there here's programs. Here's an opportunity. Why do you wait now 2-3 years? And unfortunately, you are not aware of that. Because there's a lot of scope for this. Was programmed. The reality is the people on the ground don't know about it. And I think that is the marketing which we must improve. And then also, perhaps, Mr. Swart mentioned the issues. We should be more honest with the situation where this can't happen. If there's money available, that will create new job opportunities. As you say, job opportunities, say for 2-3 weeks, but that's important. But the reality is, I think, the communication here, and I don't say it's your problem, but you must see how we can improve it. That the communities, because I can assure you, our communities are not ready, it must be with my constituencies.
How are that community going to be ready
to that's the point.
And I think that the point that another authority on this writing is a very important one, which is to say, for instance, you say you have 140 municipalities, you have moved to 155. Now, one of the members who has become aware through this presentation, I identified something. Do I come and say, can I call someone in the department and say, look, my community has identified something. But I think it is correct to say they don't know. We don't know ourselves. Now, we don't know whether we say we want to move to 155 municipalities concerned. Those are the identified municipalities. And what if you come up with another from the other side that we're doing, going around, you are in discussion with the community, they identify something. Can you bring it then, or is going to be a route out of bounds because it's not part of the 155? I think that's a question that Honorable is raising. It's important. The need is too much out there for this type of work. Did you not try to conclude on this question?
Thank you, Jefferson. I'm going to ask Dr. Gandhi on my right to tackle this question as now refined. I would like to start off by saying, though, before she concludes on it, the needs in the country are vast. But there are areas that are in greater need than others. And there is statistical information to that effect. We have what is called provincial indices of multiple deprivation, which show you where the poverty pockets are, which means that CWP is something we need to roll out countrywide. But there are areas we need to target first based on the extent of the need. And let me pass it on to Dr. Mgadi to anchor this point.
Thanks, Chairperson, honourable members again.
And my contribution to this discussion, I think, is going to start by attempting to respond to a question that was raised by one of the honourable members in relation to why the program was moved to the Department of Corrective Governance. I think that's an important question because it also will assist us in responding to other questions that are linked to it. Starting with that, when decision was made to locate the community web program within the Department of Corporate Governance, a number of things were considered. Primary among these was the fact that, obviously, the Department of Corporate Governance is responsible for coordinating the whole of government to ensure that service delivery happens at local level. That was the primary reason. And as indicated in the presentation by Mr. Faber, the fact that this is a government program. It's not a national government program, it's a government-wide program where all spheres of government need to work together, as well as all six sectors of government need to work together. But with regard to a question that was raised by the Honourable Member about how coordination happens, well, in the sense of coordination happens at a number of levels. One of those levels is through formal partnerships with other federal departments, as I intended to say, because government-wise, across sectors, across the areas of government. And my colleague from National Treasury mentioned the fact that we should be strengthening our government relations with other sub-programs and programs that are working for water. Yes, indeed, we have formal partnerships. I should retract that. We have a draft MOU, as we speak, with the Department of Environmental Affairs, which speaks to fast-track and strengthen those relations. Already WP is doing work in the environment sector, but there is a formal partnership area. So partnership is one of the ways through which coordination happens. And again, social development, we have a draft MOU, I think the DG would know it's been signed, but we do work with other sector departments. And in certain instances, we necessarily like, in the case of social development, we feel that their contribution is very important since community development, which is their, one of their functions, besides it's very, very important that we work together and they assist us and support us in terms of coming up with appropriate approaches that are going to enable communities to contribute and participate in their own development and making decisions around their own development, including as far as the CWP is concerned. But another variable for coordination is through the structures that we have in the CWP. In his presentation, Mr. Farr made reference to local reference committees. Local reference committees represent the voice of communities. They made up of civil society organizations, what committee councillors in only those wards that are already involved in the CWP participate in those. Officials from municipalities participate there. Representative sector departments sit in those local reference committees. But also at provincial level, we have provincial coordination funds or provincial steering committees, certain provinces refer to them as those. And there it's mainly, primarily sector departments, because we need sector departments' involvement in a number of ways. One of those ways is to offer sector-specific training to our participants, because it's important that whatever outputs are produced by the activities in the program are technically sound, so that when, say, participants, for example, doing home-based care, they need information relevant to health, that is with health, that's gonna, so that they understand what it entails. So if they're following up, for example, which is what they do with people that are infected with HIV AIDS. Sometimes it's like in Pumalana, there is a site where they go out to communities working with a particular clinic, go out to communities and find people that came to test for HIV in the clinic and but do not come back. So that they come back, encourage them to come back for their results, so that then they can live positively, they can know the other ideas, and live positively with HIV if they found to be positive, and try to stay negative if they are negative. So those kinds of things. But there is a need for the Department of Health then to guide, to give the technical expertise to the participants, so when they go there, even if it's basic, but they are able to do what they are supposed to be doing in a way that is guided by some kind of technical know-how. That is the side which fiercely affects the department. Come to food guidance again. They need to know what to plant, when, how much water, what kind of fertilizer to use. And again, the Department of Agriculture has the expertise. So they then assist with providing the training participants, in the providing guidance in this regard. But also they assist sometimes, because they sometimes know these communities as well. Since, as we know, everything happens at the local level. They know where gaps are. So when they see the local reference committees, they themselves can identify gaps. So as members of local reference committees, but also as members of communities, they can sometimes make recommendations about what the kind of work that the different participants need to do. Jefferson, I think I was asked of the for now.
Honored members, so I think then there was more light now that was said, especially on the question of important question of coordination, you know. And maybe I see there is a hand there that I noticed from Honored. I think part of the question, just as a way of especially now, election time, members are out there on the field. I think the question was saying, if there is discussion with people identified that there's a need for this, so the question was, who do we speak to us? Yeah, about that. Maybe also, comment just now, we also want to add.
I think that the crucial question is how to access these opportunities, you know? Not just the work opportunities, but the opportunities for assisting. In a way, you have to appreciate the efforts that are put into it, because it's a ginormous program. But in a way, too, the various departments have also got people that are, for example, food gardens, looking for people that have been to clinics, we've got clinic committees, they must know people in the area that now are not getting treated, that should be getting treated. So these things, they kind of are happening through other departments as well. So that to me is a little bit of a confusion. Because to me, you need to be able to utilize this budget to create a critical mass. Focus on something. I use weight management as an example, okay? Create an industry that cleans up cities and towns and also has the opportunity to employ more people downstream. But you try and...
to graduate from
the team. I mean, because you can't do this voluntarily, train people as servants and utilize them to be able to renovate state assets, for example. Because the state is renovating our assets as well. Yes, it helps, of course it helps, okay? And I understand that. Use that money to build something that's sustainable. Find something that's going to assist. If those people then graduate out of poverty, to be able to run their own lives. There are informal industries that people are doing things that they can be changed into that if they just focus on something. When I read in the newspaper on the weekend, I haven't had a chance to test it yet. That's to count an average human being to count to a billion will take you 50 years. So it's 85 years of counting here, this budget this year. Exceptional people. So use that money to be able to make a tangible difference, even if not in so many thousands of people's lives, but going forward. That's what I would really offer the department to try. Just think around those concepts. Not to say change the way you're doing things, but just give it some sort of change.
Another example of FWP was given from people to come from 1 to 3 years and think about it. It's a sustainable job.
Thanks. Just to add some very important points that have been made, which we will take back with us. There's no doubt about that, and that we are happy to take back with us. And then in our future engagements, we will share some light on what thought we've given to those issues and what direction we are taking. Should we proceed with the other mission?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
This seems to be the
central
question. I think, are there any other comments that you would like to make, by all means?
Yes. Dr. Mgali, don't you respond to the more direct question? Who to contact?
Yes. Thank you, Professor. I like the question because it's the easiest. I would recommend that any communications be directed to the National Program Manager, who is supported by three chief directors within the City of Mutu Unit Interdepartment. And these three chief directors are each responsible for three provinces. And so he would be in a position to know that if he, and that's Mr. Faber, the Data Program Manager, he would be in a position, you know, to direct whatever questions or recommendations about the program to the responsible chief director to address and take up at this age with the assistance of our implementing agents in the relevant province. I don't know if that is sufficient. That information is available on the COPTA website, www.copta.gov.sa, and there is a page specifically on the CDMP. And the contact details, actually, even of the chief director, who are they? I don't know if it's something that's doable. I'm seeing some best of best.
I don't
It's because she sees me shaking my head, and so because I typed it, and I'm still there going through. I think him personally after this because I tried it a few months ago and I said
Chairperson, you have a small one. But the reason why I asked that question is I'm not aware of all the councillors are aware of this. Now my question is what is there any connection, and it comes back to my earlier question of coordination, with the institution of SODA, is there any link? Is there any information, was there any presentation to SODA or not? Because they are actually the persons who are close to the communities, the councillors, because they are representing councillors, but that is just the yes or no.
As soon as we say on our members, if we have the coordinator, the national the coordinator, we consult with him. The other stuff, we leave it to him, who he links up with in order to achieve, to ensure the project.
I just want to ask, if there is, we can discuss now this. My question is, whether there is any discussions with solar office.
Honorable, I'm going to add, I'm coming to you, Honorable.
No, I was checking, I thought that there was a list of questions. Now, the interventions that is taking across the floor is stifling that process. I'm still waiting to hear the responses to the question I asked.
Okay. I'll wait my question then.
Chairperson, that's the last intervention that was made. Have we discussed the matter with Salva? The answer is yes. Zelda is fully aware of this problem. But I think what is lacking, which is being pointed out indirectly, is that we haven't really embarked on an aggressive communication drive to publicize this program and to make communities aware that they can in fact do things for themselves through this program, assisting them. That I think is something we need to take home with us. Thank you very much, James. Let me attempt one or two questions that Honourable the Madam Atlanta raised. The, I think one of them had to do with what informs the target that is set. The answer to that question is that those targets are set based on the budget that is allocated. Then there was a subsidiary question which was asked then. In those instances where we've exceeded the target, is it the case that perhaps we've overspending our budget? The answer is no. What tends to happen is that in the implementation of the program, there are instances where there are efficiencies in the system that get made, which means implementing the program in a manner that allows you to save money in other areas. That allows you, as we have done in the last year, for example, we haven't been allocated additional money to add more sites in the current financial year, to add more sites. But we've been able to get more people enrolled on the program because we've made efficiency gains elsewhere. And that money has been diverted into increasing the number of participants per site. For example, as we said, the minimum is 1,000. We have been able to increase participation in some of those sites to, say, 1,500 because we've made efficiency gains in other instances. Within your for an example, in instances where we have not spent all the money that we needed to spend on the participants, we make sure that we expand the number of participants. So it becomes possible that you can exceed your target in terms of numbers of participants without necessarily exceeding your budget. You're simply utilizing your efficiency gain. There was confusion caused by the use of the word cumulative. It may or may not have been appropriate, but let us just explain what we mean. It could be that there was a wrong choice of word. In a given year, if we have a target of a certain number of participants, perhaps let me look at it differently. In a year, you can touch the lives of, say, 205,000 people. In the sense that there are people who have come in to the program and left it at some point. But we do these counts at regular intervals because we report on a quarterly basis. And perhaps to demonstrate the point about people moving in and out, this program is not only targeting the poor and unemployed. It's also targeting people who are underemployed. You could have seasonal workers, for example, who, when they're out of season, they can get onto the seniority program. But come December, if you are in the mango or orange farms, those people go back to the farms. They are not on the program at that point. When we calculate the number of participants at the end of December, you find that the number is lower than the 205, but when you look at the number of people you've touched from April of that year to the end of December, those numbers are different. You've touched more lives, but when you count the number of participants at this time in December, those numbers are lower. So that explains. So when we say cumulative, we mean the overall number of people touched in that year from April to December. But then we can tell you, at December, this number of people was actively on the program. So that explains it. We have chosen the wrong way to describe it, but that's exactly what it's meant.
I don't know if you have another way.
Is going to be a list?
be difficult because I don't want to receive interest. Most of these questions really have been answered in one way or another, as far as I can see. I'm looking at Mr. Small's questions, Mr. Neil's questions. They've been touched on, and I'm happy that the DJ addressed the honorable members' questions. What I'd like to is to address the question of the type of training that we give to people, which to me is of great significance, because the program is not about people staying in the program. It's about people qualifying and leave the program. Also, they can go out and create jobs for themselves. We identify certain types of jobs that will make sure that we get people to be trained. For example, there's a practical example of people that we train to use the chainsaw machine. Chainsaw machine is a very dangerous machine to make use of. We train people to use the chainsaw machine. If you supply, they leave the program knowing how to use the chainsaw machine. They recruit their own people to use the chainsaw machine, and they cut through. They buy a baki, then they move out. Then one person is creating five other jobs. It is also a good example of. There's a very interesting thing about CWP. CWP has only eight legs, if you like. One of them is home-based care. What CWP is doing, linking with the Department of Health, as well as the clinics, they have old people who can't wash themselves, who can't take fees on time, who can't cook. There are people who are trained on health, on home-based care, who are CWP participants. They make it a point every morning. They visit the people in their houses by giving them some, you know, medication and pills and wash them and make them at least they to eat. That is on a regular basis. Now, those people, they qualify to be home-based care specialists. And also, when it comes to schools, I don't know how you have seen, this is a very, isn't it a nice thing to look at? You find the desk parked somewhere in the time. We can see that the people to repair those desks. You know, we work joint, as you can alluded to something that is called Provincial Coordinating Forum and Provincial Steering Committee, because we work together with other sector departments in all the work that we're doing. Those desks, when they are repaired, and you see them being used by the schools, you won't believe it, you know, because saving takes us money in one way or another. So these people, we make sure that money is not just used to train people, or, you know, cash and go. It's a training that can sustain them for their living. Yeah. I want to go back to what Amrani has said, that people can contact me then CWP will move to their areas. I must say it right now, it's not as easy as all that. We consider so many things. CWP, you will find that counselors are sort of inverted commas. They fight about the program because they want them to go to their own areas. We make it a point that they want to call a council resolution, stated by the council and block, to say, well, in fact, this following month, this way CWP can go. And then we follow that route. Because if you just go, if one counselor is active more than the other one, they will talk to you, then they get the program, go to their own sites. Now they end up fighting amongst themselves. That's why you follow the route of going through the council. It doesn't mean that if you write to me and say, I need a site in my foreign municipality, I will respond and say, yes, I'm coming. There's a budget that is being allocated, and we have to look at the steps as we consider a number of things before we can agree that if you go to that particular area. However, the year 2017, March, we want to be visible in other municipalities. That's our goal. And if possible, by 2019, we want to achieve a figure of 1 million participants participating in CWP. Thank you. Okay.
I think there's a kind of way of
positioning.
I do think that
the person who has responded to all this,
just we have to attend to the end.
Okay, let's allow the question to
Sure. Just a quick one here, just to know if for instance, you know, the municipality that I'm involved in, they applies to a specific program like clearing the bushes more safely, but this is, you know, the example that you mentioned. But that municipality does not happen to be one of the 104 municipalities at this stage. Will you say just no, or will you litigate, or what is the situation with regard to that?
I think we have raised that question, but not responded to. That's why it's coming back up here.
Chairperson, there will not be an out right now. We will have to consider having an industrial community. And we'll have to look at it against what is planned. Yeah. Honourable Member Matala also raised the question. Rama? I beg your pardon. I think you're formal. The Honourable Member asked a question regarding whether or not there is stability in those municipalities where you have said that repeat site with regard to the current protest, and I hope I understood it correctly. We haven't done an assessment of that kind. It's something we certainly can look at. But what is very clear is that what gives rise to the protest is not so much whether or not there is CWP intervention. The issues about which the protests are concerned would be delivery of water, delivery of electricity, basic services in a sense. So there are instances where, Dr. Mgadi whispered to me, there are instances where in the forefront of some of the community process, you see your CWP participants. But they are not there in their capacity as CWP, protesting against CWP, but they're as members of that community, protesting against lack of a delivery of one service or another. So it, at this point, we can't say whether there is any correlation that where you have CWP sites that you are likely to have protests. That we cannot say at this point, but we can look into that information. There were questions raised by our member before, some of which have been responded to. But there's one or two questions I think I should deal with. The first has to do with, I think the honourable member understood us to be saying that we are paying participants directly. And that is not what the presentation is saying. The presentation says, at present, we're paying participants through the agents. But come April 1st, in the new rollout of the program, when we have removed the other layers of the agents, we will be paying directly. At the moment, that's not what is happening. The agents are doing the payments. There was a question raised about training. I think the farmer has touched on that. But as to what training is to be offered also depends on what program is being rolled out as part of CWP. So it would be, the training that is provided would be relevant to what is being done. If it's, for example, a food garden program, you could have people from agriculture training people on how to do specific things relating to that. If it's home community-based care, the Department of Health could be part of it, or the Department of Social Development could also be part of it, depending on whether you're dealing with the treatment side of home community-based care, or you're dealing with the socio-economic impacts of the burden of disease that your program is trying to deal with. Yeah, I think the other questions have been dealt with. I hope that the honourable member is satisfied. So I should hope. Yes. Or you'd like to add on? Yes.
Thanks.
Maybe
to just add on the issue of training. What I'd like to emphasize is the fact that you know, when I was talking about partnerships earlier, I emphasized the intergovernmental partnerships and partnerships with communities, actually involved to decide their own fate, what's going to be happening. But I left out the private sector, who also are important and partners. And they have really got a number of private sector entities that were exploring partnerships, and with particularly partnerships that relate to training. And that training, most of the training looks beyond just the output of the W2, beyond what we've done. It addresses the bridge from the WP to, you know, a sustainable job within the regular economy. And I speak, just as I was talking to someone from Nedbank about that kind of training, they want to offer, for example, flexible training specifically around personal financial literacy to our participants. Certain participants need this kind of skills, how to manage their small little budget. The wages aren't that much, but if they fail to manage them, then they could be disaster in their personal life. But also the same program, Nedbank program, want to assist participants with training entrepreneurship. You know, and I think that was linked to corporations and those kinds of things. Again, within the broad framework of partnership, I think the challenge for us, we've been talking about it internally, that we need to form linkages or to establish some kind of working relations, if not formal partnership, with trade and industry. Because trade and industry, you know, is the custodian of all the economic growth initiatives. So as to see that they assist us and the participants to really, when they enter the CWP, to enable them to enter the CWP into more sustainable jobs rather than the work opportunities that the program is designed to offer. But another question that was raised, I think, by Honorable Foro relates to how the new model that we are proposing differs from the old one. And I think what she emphasized in that question was the number of implementing agents does not matter. And I think the reason that Mr. Fowler was highlighting the fact that the current model, up to the end of the financial year, engages making use of three levels of implementing agents, all of whom need to be, they need some kind of machine of this eye, you know, for project management. And I think the total number of implementing agents that we've been working with is within the three levels has been more than 50 of them. Now they're going to be only 9, you know, because each implementing agent is going to be responsible for the process. So we're going to be able then to make use of the funds that are presently being used to pay these implementing agents to feed them back into the program so that more participants can benefit from the program. That is one. But a related question, even though not so directly, is the one about, well, say we're going to be monitoring, how are we doing this? And of course, you know, when we reduce the number of implementing agents, it means that some of the work that the implementing agents have been doing, including payments of participants that are official area, has to come to the department. So we are getting ourselves for that through getting people, I think the complement of the unit strengthened. And that would include monitoring and evaluation capacity. But presently it's not like monitoring evaluation is not happening at all. We do have a small monitoring evaluation unit, there's a monitoring evaluation framework, which we're also reviewing so that it now is able to speak to the new proposed model of fewer implementing agents. Thank you.
Very briefly, I just want to reiterate what you said to you about the stability in municipalities which CWP is operating. Because tomorrow you might look on TV and see people with orange overalls marching and things like that is CWP. The poor is always vulnerable. Everyone wants to see something to get support of any kind. They target the poor. These people are paid out of ministerial determination. People go to them and say, out of 5 million, you can be paid more. It's not true. They will not achieve that. But they use them, because they're in a group there, then they go and influence them to come and join the sites. You see, on those photos, it doesn't mean that they are doing against CWP. but they are just being used. Number two, I want this house to relax. CWP is municipalities are just working together with us. It's not a municipality controlled program. We're tying that, so we're using the local defense committees. And then the last thing that I would like to say, yes, of course, when you drive around, you will see them lying under a tree, wearing these orange overalls. It doesn't mean that they're not being trained. They are trained from time to time. But and the fact that they are there, like another thing, it doesn't mean that they're not being trained.
I have a question to our president.
I was waiting to hear the budget increase and the lesser output. If I look at it in terms of money, it's over 400 million that we talked about, and in addition to the previous budget. But if I look at it in terms of the output, in terms of the number 205 and 172, probably about more than 33,000 less. How do you achieve less or 33,000 with 400 million in addition to what you have?
Jefferson, the good doctor is here to assist us.
Thanks, Jefferson. I'm not going to be going into the details in terms of the amounts, but just the principle. I think the honourable member is referring to the figure of 172,000 participants. That seems to be lower than the previous figure. The report that I can make with regard to that is that that was actually a target for the current financial year. And I think my colleague from the National Treasury mentioned that in her presentation that the figure didn't reflect performance, but it reflected what was targeted for the current financial year.
I
think
have you got that copy from National Treasury? That's correct. So maybe in terms of that, I would say in 2012, 2015, the question that is being asked, we had a higher target with less what we call a budget. And now in 2013, 2014, with a bigger budget, we had less our what we call it. That's why I start the question that or maybe you would want to go back and investigate exactly whether this figure is correct or what in terms of your target.
Jefferson, I think we can respond right now. The 172,000 is the target, right, for the current financial year. It's not, while all the other figures from 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, those are, that's where we were. But also to say that figure there was high because of the high turnover rate. The initial target for 2013 was 171,500. We exceeded the target, so we ended up with, again, using our definition of cumulative, with 205,495. But the performance in the current financial year, up to December, we've got to remember that we still have January, February, well, already February, but the figures that we haven't been reporting on are the December figures. They are already, they are positive, and they will even be higher by the end of the financial year, by the end of March. But this is the target. I know that it's difficult to understand because all the others reflect performance, but this reflects intended performance for the year.
No, I would respect.
the doctor said the figure said was the target was 171,000, and this one, this in 1314 is 172. Even that for me is a problem, because if we have a target 171, and the following year we have a target of 172. The difference between that is one,
okay.
And the budget, and the budget, note the budget, it's increased by over 400 million. So I'm asking, in terms of, because I think the budget must be informed by the plan. There must be a particular plan that informs the budget, and the budget therefore agrees that this is going to be the achievement. Maybe Trader will answer this question. Yes. Yeah, now maybe the Treasurer will be done with it. Is that they explain this and accept whether this is in fact what they... So they allocated 400 million above the previous year with an estimated figure of 172. And that's very for money.
I want to make a suggestion. Unless Fred will say yes, because I wanted to suggest that let's take it that this question has not been what you call responded to. You know, so that we can give you a chance to go and investigate this what you call. Now, Papa, don't shake your head, because Papa Ramachandran is correct. All that we, you make the target, you come and present the target to us. My mom has been saying, 2012, 2013, this is what you achieved actually, but it was not a target. The target was 171,000. I heard you, overheard you talking about 500 in fact class. Now, Papa Ramachandran is saying, but with an addition of 500 million, the target was 172. There's a problem. We agree with it. We agree with it. That there's a problem. Don't then try to insist that this is correct. There's something that is not correct here. Now, we are being generous to you. We say, go back, check this figure, if surely this is accurate. It might not be what you call accurate.
With respect, I did say that I'm very aware of the time, but I'm very concerned about. I'm asking money question. Now I'm a bit concerned about the body language. I'm very concerned about that very language, and I would ask that we get the body language out of our system, because we can stay for very long with the question. I just want to say that, and I'm saying, Chair, therefore, I would agree with you, because we're reading the figures that has been written, which I suspect is in the submission to Treasury in terms of this. And I'm asking them for the discussion about the value for money question, and I see no money or no value for money. We can't give over 400 million for lesser target. We can't. There's something wrong, DG, for this. Now let's address it. We can address it now and spend time doing it. Or we can go back with the treasurer or the chair's suggestion that there is something that is not right, that we need to get right.
And
we get that written reply in terms of this.
That's just maybe linked to that question. Yes. The agents pay the
beneficiaries. But then the agents would be forwarding the names of the beneficiaries to the department. Okay. Then maybe we can just get clarity. But I would like to know the capacity of the department to verify 170,000 names that are given to them a year. And is there reconciliation done between those names and the payments on a monthly basis?
And I know this department will have a support to this issue. Because what I see here in the report that there is actual and targets in the part of the report, but they will respond. But I think the question I do is do they have the capacity to...
And I think Mama Mati has already alluded to that. They are seen on monitoring.
You want to come back on?
That's basically my point. But once the explanation is given as to how they actually verify the names that are coming from the agents, to be able to then say those are the job opportunities that have been created, and how those verify, because you get a huge gap. Mr. Fabi comes from the we know the department's education in the province at a particular time. There were thousands of ghosts. There's no reason, and that's half the size of this number of people. Now, that may be where I'm just coming from to say this reconciliation can create gaps like this.
Another thought, the question that has been hanging, you know,
and the question is come by your suggestion that they go back and come back with the figures to us. Thank you.
Members, can we just now ask all the other questions?
You know, the expansion of it got 8 legs that they did with, and that's asking myself, you know, to say how did they partner with the local government in terms of that, because they could talk about training. But for me, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but for me, what I understand is the department was supposed to be doing, was supposed to be dealing with what is happening in the department. You know, but I can see they are in other departments, they are at home based, all these kinds of things. And for me, it's duplication of what is happening. Although they are working together with the department. But I was thinking that they are talking about cutting of trees or food gardens. That is the Department of Agriculture. That's why they're so very strict agriculture, but you know that these were other people are doing it for them. You know? So I'm just also saying maybe they can look at local government sector, because it's part of their, I'm not so sure how do they think, but I know it has something to do with local government, to make sure that maybe we get in terms of, as the CWP, they involve them. So some of the committee members can be taken to train to those sitters. For me, it will be a little bit better compared to what is happening now. Now I'm asking myself, because the last time I got a complaint, these home-based care people said, for 3 months we did not get paid. Now I'm asking myself, is it CWP that did not pay them? Or is it the Department of Health? Yeah. Or is it the Department of Health? You know, I'm not so sure what is really happening. But I would have suggested that they remember, Honorable Snail says they must come with products that will make people sustainable. So based on their local government issues, if they can do that, maybe they will be agreeing with the CWP program is, you know, doing. But for me, they are all over issue. The next thing they're in agriculture, health, social services. So I want them to, I would suggest not one. I would
associated of planners. Yeah? Planners. What is the department doing in terms of, that's why I'm talking about local government sector, to make sure, although sometimes it's a municipality issue, so that we can go in. Thank you, Chef.
Can I ask you,
thank you very much.
Can I really ask you, I think we must close.
Yeah.
Because I think the Pichi, at the beginning, in his introduction, he said, this program, you correct me, did not come by accident. It was designed. You know? And in other words, that people at local government would identify whatever they want, would take the initiative. Commissioner spoke about vuvuzelas. In other words, that encouragement that was so we're not saying to people. I think maybe the question that the Honorable Mfolo is asking the DJs to say, do CITAs generally have a role in this training that is given on the Honorable That's about the CITAs, maybe the local government ones, maybe others, depending on what project you are, I mean, the people are undertaking. Maybe that is a question that is being raised. We talk about those possible skills that people acquire from this project.
And then they don't have to spend money because it has to pay.
I think we should have I can ring the bell here.
Thank you, Chairperson. We accept some of the criticism on the program. Things that that's the criticism that points to things that we need to revisit if it need to be. But I think we've made the point here that CWP is not a GCOP program.
Oh.
It is a government-wide program. It brings everybody together. Now we've been told, well, you're measuring into health, as if it's GCOP measuring into health. Health is part of government's work. So let's look at it that way.
I thought that we had redirected the question back to the
On the other two points, the question that was raised by Honourable Ramalakar, we undertake to go back and look at it and reconcile our numbers with the Treasury. I was referring to my colleague because there was a time when CWP, I think it would have been in the course of the last financial year, where the spending rate was low. And the Treasury took a decision to cut 1.2 billion over the NTF from that program. Now, as to whether the figure as it appears here is accurate, is a matter we would like to compare with the Treasury on. And so it's not simply going to be a response from us, but a response from both of us, saying we've looked at our numbers and this is a response.
Cooperation.
Yes. That's certainly what we will do. I thought there was another... There are no other questions. In that case, Jefferson, we... Okay, the reconciliation point.
The problem is that DJ, I'm given a responsibility to lead the leaders. They're speaking of the Moscow. They all are because they are used to leading, you know.
Jane, we will work with the department on the reconciliation of the numbers. Thank you.
Yes,
Jefferson,
the
door
is
just
one not better.
No,
it's not. The DG is going to get it. Yes, the one of the... That's what I wanted to comment on now. The... At present, because this is linked to 2020 evaluation, and I understand it. At present, because the participants are paid by the agents, at present what we are relying upon is the reconciliation that is done between what is paid by the participants into the bank accounts of, of the participants. But that in itself is not ultimately reliable, because there's a possibility of having ghost participants. So what we have since decided what we are going to do is to procure a system that would use biometric identification, which would be based on the site, so that when people come there, they have to put their pins during lines, perhaps they have to put their pins, and when they log, they have to put their pins. So that it gives us a reasonable degree of certainty that these people exist, but also that they were on site indeed on the days that they said they were to be on site. And we hope that that reduces the risk. Our responsibility is not to make sure that there's no risk. Our responsibility is to make sure that we mitigate the risk. That's the best one can do. And we think that through procuring a system of that kind, we will definitely minimize the risks in the system. Thank you, Chair.
No. You see, members who sit behind the pillar because the chair can't see him, the member can't see the chair. Honorable Dr. Pandek,
Chairperson, your question, just to get clarity on what's just been said, and to follow up on the question of Honorable Snell. To do monitoring the variation, I've heard very clear that to do the reconciliation is either, make sure that people are on site. But I think what's very important is to connect the job that's been done, the work to be done, or that one, to get value for money. So I would like to hear in future, or in the response that will come to us, the link between the job of the certain agencies or the people involved, and not only that the people who are on site or that they exist. I think, for us as a committee, to do proper evaluation is to see that the job has also been done on site, and that there is a monitoring process on the work that has been done. Thank you.
The chair is always right when he says that at a particular time we need to wind down, because I have said to DG now, but I wanted the Vichy to conclude. Because the issue, Honorable Dr. Fandek, was not really an issue now in terms of whether these people did exist or what. I think that it was a remark that was made in passing by Honorable Snell, because we were trying to the conservation of figures. But I think, honourable members, the important thing about this program, maybe some of us could just miss, is to say what the department was saying to us is to say, up to now, this is how we've been conducting our business. And moving forward, this is what we intend doing. And maybe our focus, as well as at our own time, is to say this forward, what we call the future that the department is trying to make. Do we think that is going to work or not work? Where do we think that there is no to improve? I think that we really need to focus. This is it's February now. The 2014 starts on the 1st of April. So really focusing on what has been wrong, but I think we should focus on what they propose to be doing. Is it going to within, do you think that it's going to work or not work? But how much time do we give it to respond to that question that we to cook and that to supply the figures? on the 15th of March.
No, we can say 7 days from today.
No, I think that today is Wednesday. By the end of business day tomorrow, as good as that. Mamung has you put as well. Is that true?
Yeah, we're also going to go to the tomorrow evening chair.
There's also got to be coordination between Jesus and
Now we
said the running
of the all of our
agents in for what? It's a beeping, this reconfirmation of it's not really a big deal.
Check with your permission. I think the information is available. It's just for the joint it available. And to be honest and to be fair, in the past you also be other departments by the end of the next working day. And I can't see, I agree with you. I can't see why we can't have it tomorrow.
It's not a big issue, Dr. Fendick. I agree with you.
Did you want to close? I am sorry.
No, you're closing with, no, thank you, Jefferson, for the reach, the interaction. I think it was, for me, quite instructive. I've learned a lot from the many suggestions and points that have been made by honorable members. Some of the questions have also opened our eyes to other matters that we need to take care of in the process. So, we are indebted to the honourable members of the committee. Thank you very much, please.
Thank you, Didi. You know, nice working with young people, you know, with young professionals. Unfortunately, now and they also think this is only the two of us who are doing this. But I think what Zanit is drawing our attention, our members, that's incidental, or accidental, is that you remember we had the presentation from the DPMT around the evaluation. And one evaluation that is out there is this one, CWP. Yeah, on the what you call the effect is one of those that are out there. It should have been presented, but I think that the report that we've got from TPN was saying that at late. Yeah. So, I'm saying that it will be important for us to ensure that we have access to that report. Now that was that by the way, but it's a very important observation to me. DG, I think that I hear Honorable Swar saying that this is a duplication between EPWP and CWP. But I think that overall, which is, I think this is an important program. I think what needs to be done, rather than throwing the program away through the window because of weakness, I think it's important to look at the on improving. Already, honorable members, in the slide about it, but where to now with the program? I think the reason why we invited CWP was precisely to say, so CWP, we think that there's a lot of wastage in this what we call in the program. So what is it that you're doing to do away with the wastage? They have come with the way forward. And part of the grant that we had, but the money was not going to the beneficiary. But the money was going to consultants and going down there. Somebody was saying, there were about 50 agencies that were there, which now
what we're going to, they're going to get rid of those. And I think that we should be pleased with this committee, because that's what we have all along been fighting for today, to remove the little men. More resources must go to the beneficiaries rather than what the president did. And the department now is saying they are doing, they are only what the president come 2014 financial year. They are relying on doing those things. So, within that, we would really require and support your way forward as far as this program is set. As far as this program is concerned. But the other issue that all our members raised was around increasing coordination. Again, you identified departments that need to need to be involved in increasing coordination. So it's one area, but the normal thing, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. I'm sure you will improve once this is the structure there, able to identify the weaknesses or what. But this is the other point that I would like to move to, which really needs to be attended to. As my chief of staff, she tried to contact the people from the province. I must say that the response that we received, I don't think that it was correct. The member is aware of the program. He contacted the department. The department said, no, go to the municipality in the municipal council meeting and put through your wonderful suggestion there.
Mm-hmm. And why are you doing why are you doing this work?
Why are you going to people and saying, it can't be like that. I think there's a challenge with that. Not that we're saying that we don't want to do that, but it's not our call to go to a municipality in a council meeting to introduce your article. I think that there was some articles, in the kind of a response. Our responsibility is to assist the public there to achieve those goals. If it is a question of a budget, I'm sure that time with each one, we can deal with that question of the budget. It can be a conversation between the department and the concerned member. But the department says 1.1 billion had to be taken away because that's a lot of spending. So now if you identify one project, if you put to spend on 1.1 billion, that couldn't be spent. And if I were the department, I would be happy to what we call it, to supporting that. So that the responsibility of the department is to spend this the budget. To spend the budget. And our responsibility is to support the department, but we don't only support the department. We support the people on the ground to ensure that they have access. They have access to the system. So let's admit UG. There was a problem. I thought that there would be an apology to Honorable Mashiko that she tried to contact the people she had to do it. But nobody worried about it. Those people did not even respond.
Chair, I elevated this to a question to the minister.
They had to elevate this to a question to the minister so that they should be able to call it. To try to take this response. So I think that on that side, it is. We really need to improve. The work done in order to help members. I think you have in the past your staff, maybe other people around you also need to understand that
the members are not being used for any personal or secret gain. But it's up to ensure that the people have access to the services. The credit will not go to the member, it will go to the department, because the department will agree on more on this particular issue. I think that we have commented on the issue of now removing the effect now within the water quality structures. But you know, as the last comment a lot of members give around the monitoring evaluation, this committee incidentally happens to be the committee responsible for doing oversight of DPMD with the monitoring and evaluation. You know, DG, when we formed, as you've seen, on monitoring and evaluation, something that came to my mind was the form that the department got from the MA. You know the answer?
Mm.
Yeah. So the objective of the MPEG is to identify some of those areas where we are weak in. And what we have not been able to do, another member, is to say what is the improvement plan of this particular department which has underperformed on this program. We have not been able to do that. Clearly, it is an area that is very important to ensure that it is strengthened, PG, because monitoring is not just, monitoring goes a long way, but monitoring, ensuring that the resources are utilized properly, and all those kind of things, but also the evaluation, which the DBMD is doing. But the department can also do their own, what we call internal evaluation, to see, to identify the weaknesses and what needs to be done to improve. But with those few, what we call the West remarks, which is on behalf of the committee, I would like you to thank you very much. But really, it's not only for this project. I think that this project has a future. Just in tightening here and there, as we indicated, the coordination and what. Maybe the next round, if some of us are still around, we'd really like to assist to ensure that this program becomes a success. It's a good program, I repeat. Thank you very much, Mr. Chief.
It would be timely for me on behalf of the department to turn our policy unreservedly to Honourable Member Mashiko. I hadn't picked up the details as you've described them now. That's exactly what transpired. So we apologise to the Honourable Member unreservedly.
Very nice question.